This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, and with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly. The Big
Breakfast with Marto, Margo, and Nick Cody.
Tuesday, the 20th of October. Welcome to the catch-up podcast of The Big Breakfast. Live show just finished. Lots of fun coming up. Nick, you might have worked out why one of Australia's most popular, well, what would you call it, takeaway drink places is so popular.
Yeah.
It involves drugs.
A lot of them.
You watched your first ever reality TV show, SAS. You're going to run us through that a bit later on.
Yeah, SAS Australia. It's awesome. I think there's another episode on tonight. I'm going to watch it. There was punch-ons in the first 15 minutes.
That's what you want in reality TV.
That's awesome. Right. Proper punch-ons. Not just two Botoxed idiots staring at each other over some savvy bee. Mm. I want fist thrown.
Well, Roxy Jezenko's gone, so now I'll watch.
Can we... you didn't like her?
No, I can't stand her.
That's interesting.
She's annoying.
Righto. Talking about serious punch-ons, I see League had another win over AFL. Lockie Neal, never been in a public affray, never been public drunk, and etc.
Oh, yeah.
Rugby League's best player. A couple of years ago, he beat the crap out of five people one night on a big night out.
Jack White.
Rugby League.
They have the memories of a goldfish, don't they, the NRL?
Less than 3 years ago. How's this for a sentence? Following sentencing, the footage of Whiten in urine-soaked trousers launching unprovoked attacks on five different passers-by was released to the media.
It's a casual Friday night.
You know what? I never victim blame. I don't like the term victim blaming. But number one and two that got punched, I feel terrible for.
Yeah.
Three, four and five, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Go the other
Get
way.
Away.
There's a large man in piss-soaked chinos. Move.
Now, that you just mentioned that there, and that's a note to all youngsters. Wear dark trousers if you think you're going to piss yourself. Don't wear the light, bony-coloured ones. Crikey.
It's a lesson for young players out there.
That's what we take out of this.
Enjoy the show.
I think I figured out why an Australian company is as popular as it is and why the vibe in their stores are so... It's always over the top. Let me explain. There was a 68-year-old man down in Sydney over the weekend. He's been charged after he was allegedly caught attempting to import more than 550 kilograms of cocaine from Brazil.
Jesus, that's a lot.
It was coming in banana pulp, right? And they tested the substance. It came positive for cocaine. So the AFP started tracking them
over a month. Hell of a smoothie.
You're onto it, right? $248 million street value of cocaine. 139 boxes of the banana pulp packed with coke and...
Wow.
Janine Ellis would really look at investing in that for Juice Boost. They do have a smoothie called the Banana Buzz.
Boost juice.
That too.
You're all over it.
Is that
explains the vibe in that store, doesn't it?
Nick! I've got a mango magic for Nick and three sick business ideas. Nick, I want to start a company where I sell hats with your face on it. What do you reckon? We good?
Triple M, Big Breakfast.
So it's not all about the grand final this week. There's other news around in rugby league, and there's only one man who knows it all, Ben Dobbin. How are you, mate?
G'day, guys. Look, I mean, obviously, we've got Queensland's 14 playing this weekend in the NRL grand final. We've got Geelong and Richmond, but the real appetite, that's only the entree. The main course is next Monday when the Queensland Origin side gets named. When Queensland made these border restrictions, I don't think anybody really knew the enormity of it. But if you are bestowed upon the honour of coaching the Queensland Origin team, I would suspect that would give you more clearance than an AFL player's wife to come into the border, or potentially a truck driver carrying grass from the MCG. Well, not if you're Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett has tried to get into Queensland early to prepare for Origin. And the Queensland government at this stage will not let Wayne Bennett come up here till next weekend. Now, Wayne said to me, I'm here. They've asked me to coach their state in State of Origin, but they will not let me come up early, will not get permission to come up early.
It's bloody ridiculous.
Dobbo,
as somebody that had to fight with Queensland Health to get let back in myself a few months ago, is Wayne a bit cantankerous? You've got to spend a lot of time on the phone with Queensland Health. Maybe they...
What are you doing up there?
I don't think he would be one for negotiation in this issue. I think you're right, Nick. But, I don't know.
So Dobbo,
Dale do it or something.
He's been in the bubble and they're going, you've got to stay in that bubble for 2 weeks. Is that what it is?
Correct, but he has to come into a bubble when he gets to the Origin side. So what he's saying is, let me get into the Origin bubble, which is down on the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. So what he said was, can I go there and start preparing? No, Queensland government don't care.
Dobbo, does that mean, though, is there no chance of somebody getting him on a jet or something, or a little somebody with a plane?
A chopper, a gyrocopter.
Dobbo, who's your mate that when we're out in Roma and St George,
whistle
the pilot, can't whistle pick him up?
Whistle goes a bit low sometimes.
don't encourage whistle because he would do it. Hey, one bolter for the Origin side, and we're going to give you a bit of this. Kurt Capel, Charleville born and bred, he'll be playing in the grand final for the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah.
He will be in the Origin side.
Where will they pick him? In the back row?
Oh, I think he'll play in the centres. That's how wide on they are, but he will definitely be there. Amazing story. Couldn't get a start at the Broncos. Was 18th man for the Cronulla grand final. Plays in a grand final for the Penrith Panthers this weekend and also play for Origin. Huge story.
Geez, there's a couple of those. What's the other bloke? Zane Tedefano. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He missed out last year. He was in the Roosters every single game of the year, and then the grand final dropped for Jake Friend, so missed out on winning a grand GF. He's now in the Penrith team. Incredible.
Yeah, huge stories.
Hey, who are you backing, mate?
Melbourne Storm in a canter.
Dubbo, Jack White and Dally M winner last night. Got leaked late yesterday afternoon. Yeah. What happened there?
Well, I don't know. You always love it when a leading journalist out of Sydney apologises and says it was a production glitch. But just as I was watching it, just about to start, I had the popcorn ready, Dally M, Yvonne Sampson hosting, and lo and behold, there it is, Buzz Rothfield leaking it on Twitter.
Mm.
Thank you. So I didn't watch it. Congratulations, Jack White. But what an absolute stuff-up. I will say this. It never happens in the AFL, that kind of stuff. It only happens in rugby league.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people seem to know the winner. That's why they've stopped the betting on 24 hours before it.
God, hosts of the Rush Hour right here on Triple M, 6 p.m. weeknights. We'll see you then.
Free Wayne. See ya.
Free Wayne.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
On 104.5 Triple M, on your smart speaker at home and even on the Triple M app, it's The Big Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Nick Cody. If you've had a sudden change in career, maybe due to the pandemic, we want to talk to you after 7:30 this morning.
I hate reality TV shows. Cooking sucks.
The Bachelor.
Botox on the Goldies for idiots. Hate them. Hate them all.
Dancing.
Married at First Sight.
Until I saw this
Real
ad.
Housewives.
Selection for the SAS is a test like no other.
I don't care if they're celebrities in their world. They've chosen to enter our world. They're not going to know what's hit them.
SAS Australia.
Who was that bloke?
Ant Middleton. He's a former Special Forces soldier from the UK.
They're Pommies.
Are they?
The head of the crew there on this new show, SAS Australia, where they get a bunch of celebrities and sports people in to go through... obviously, weaker version of the SAS selection course, but to push people to their limits.
Did it look fair then? Come
well, we
on,
spoke
was
to
it?
Merrick yesterday, and he said it was pretty tough.
It was bloody great. And all the people at the start, all the contestants, introduced themselves with a little bit of information.
I've had a lot of media attention. I think this selection course will give me a chance to show more of the real me because you can't hide and it's not fake.
That was the Honey Badger.
Oh,
Nick
yeah.
Cummins,
Nick
your
Cummins.
Mate.
Okay. He did The Bachelor.
Should we go through it all? It was Candace Roxy. Warners, she'll go all right.
Yeah, Roxy Jacenko, the PR, she did fall out pretty early in the show, I believe.
She only lasted 6 hours.
Yeah, but then she came out today and said she'd had an injury, falling off a horse a few weeks ago, broken pelvis.
A bloke rode into the burner phone going, I've been on the toilet longer than she was in the show.
Well,
fair enough?
He should go to the doctor. But this was Roxy's intro.
People would best know me as a serial entrepreneur with 5 businesses. Failure, in my mind, has never been an option.
Well, serial entrepreneur, that'll do me.
Little things about themselves and saying why they think they'll go well. My favourite intro, though, self-intro, had to be our Chappelle Corby.
If you're over 15 years old and you say that you've never heard the name Chappelle Corby, bullshit.
That's her intro.
That was her intro. You know who I am, Chappelle Corby.
She'll go right in any hostage situations on the show.
There were punch-ons. They had people punching one another, picking. So people would get chosen, and then they'd have to choose somebody.
Did Mitch Johnson? Did he have a fight?
Mitchell Johnson fought Merrick.
Merrick punched him in the ribs.
Busted Merrick up.
He could fight because his wife was Olympic gold medalist in judo, wasn't she?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's got to help.
Is it a male-on-male, female-on-female thing?
Well, no. Roxy Jacenko fought against her mate.
Candace Warner.
Candace Warner, their mates, and they had a punch on. But then
Candace
Sabrina
won that for
Frederick,
sure.
AFLW player.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute weapon.
Yeah.
She came out and said, give me the honey badger.
Oh.
And had a full-on punch-on against the honey badger.
She obviously watched The Bachelor. He was soft.
Yeah. Hey, honey badger,
but
this is how you pick
for
someone.
The Wallabies. Who won that stink?
It was a draw. They just had a massive punch-on for a few minutes. Right. It was a bloody good time. But
sounds all right.
The thing that got me was our mate Merrick, who we spoke to yesterday. Hey. Merrick was taking things very seriously.
All I've ever been is a clown. This is not a funny thing I'm doing. And that in itself is brave for me.
You having a nice time?
Because I'm not going on to be the funny guy. I'll go serious and I'll show people the other side of me.
And he did. He switched and I thought, oh no, Merrick's about to become the thing I hate most in the world.
What's that?
Earnest comedian.
Oh, so
right?
true, so true.
But then
true.
They had to do these beach crawls and they were stuck in the water for ages. And I thought, oh, Merrick, don't tell me he's going to be serious. But he said he switched. He's not going to be a comedian. He refuses to be a clown on the show.
What you got to do to survive, I guess.
And then he saw where they were living.
In my house, we just shit in the sink, so this is good. That beach crawl was good, wasn't it? Good like that. Wasn't that nice? Sometimes I take my family to the beach, but we never thought to do that. Never. Get down, your maggots, on the ground, in front of your mum.
Love it. It's nice. Australia every night. It's an absolutely awesome show. I'm in.
Yeah, you're going to stick with it
whole
booked. Way?
It's back tonight, 7:30.
Awesome. Well, what? Updates every day?
Every day. The Big Breakfast,
Triple M. I think we all know those horrible stories. We've been talking about them for 6 months where people lost their jobs, lost their livelihoods. They still are to this day. There's a wonderful story in the paper yesterday about this young girl. Jasmine's her name. She's from Homeview, so it's a local story. Mm. Lost a job. She had a job in hospitality, had a job in retail, okay? Had two part-time jobs, lost both of them. Went past the Centrelink one day and she said, How can I avoid being in that queue?
Being in there. Mm.
She decided to do a CV up. She made it so simple that she wrote 4 words on that CV, okay? And it led to almost full-time work nearly immediately. She's with us now. Jasmine from Homeview. Hello.
Hi, how you going?
What were those 4 words that were on your CV?
I just simply wrote, I love whip snipping.
and from that, I love you. Now, what happened?
So I was, let go of both my jobs. Wasn't really sure how I was going to make money during this whole thing. A neighbour of mine asked me to do some whip snipping in their yard. And just while I was doing it, I was thinking, how could I possibly make this into a job? So that afternoon, I took a photo. I got the lady to take a photo of me. And posted it. Yeah, and posted it onto WorkApp. And by the next afternoon, I had a lady contacting me, asking me to come out to her place and have a chat with her, which that ended up turning into once, sometimes twice a week with her. And then from there, she recommended me to someone else as well. And then I got about 4 or 5 other messages on WorkApp. And yeah, ended up going on to 6 days a week doing that.
Wow.
Jasmine, for those that don't know, and I'm one of them, how does WorkApp work?
So it was all free. You don't have to pay for it to sign up or anything like that. So it's completely free to download. Downloaded it a couple of years ago. Someone told me about it and I had it on my phone. Kind of just flicked through it to kind of look through the classified section mainly, just have a look at it all. Obviously, I wasn't looking for work back then, so I wasn't really using it for that. But it just crossed my mind to maybe post something on there.
Jasmine, the truth, how much whippersnipping had you done before that day?
Oh, little bits and pieces. I grew up on acreage, so I always thought it was fun to be the one to get to jump on the ride-on mower and everything and and driving around the backyard. But other than that, not a whole lot.
Jasmine, you've turned your career around, obviously. It's quite labour-intensive work compared to working in retail and hospitalities. Is this something that you see yourself doing long-term?
So I'm back in hospitality now, but I'm still doing all of the gardening part-time as well. I do like being outside, so it's a nice change from being inside all the time.
Jasmine, it is such a beautiful story. We're going to actually hope it goes a little bit further. You may have inspired a heap of other people by talking to us this morning, so well done you. Keep going hard. But we want to know, hey, listen, is there something you got laid off from and then you started something completely different?
Well, Marta, you talked about it in the height of the pandemic where pilots were then stacking shelves at Coles. Air hosties were working at Coles.
Did you see that guy? There's a guy doing an ad. He's a pilot. Now he fixes bikes and he goes, it's like when I'm flying. I'm very meticulous. Mm. I do my best job on every single bike. There's people doing it everywhere.
The global financial crisis in 2008, I was doing just some office job in like a mail room and got the boot. No, everyone was getting cut from everything. I ended up doing like a door-to-door sales job for a year. It was bloody great. I was outside all day. As long as you can handle rejection maybe 150 times a day, you should be all right. Bill for that.
My nail technician now works at Bunnings. She had a full-time at-home nail business.
Different type of nail technician.
Because she was unable to. And now she works at Bunnings full-time and has kept that job and is staying there. She closed down her nail tech business because she loves it so much.
When have you really pivoted and changed your life completely?
How does Jewelux go on your nails?
Yeah, well, it pivoted my life completely because I had to find a new nail lady.
You can also text Marta's burner phone, 0484 10 1045.
What about you, Dane from Ormo?
Yeah, I was working in the gold industry, in the mining industry in a gold mine as a laboratory technician. I was made redundant from that and moved back to Queensland, got a job driving trucks, and now I'm a fleet supervisor.
Whoa. What sort of trucks were you driving?
Just heavy rigid, doing garbage waste collections for recycling.
I would dare say a lot less pressure in your current line of work, Dane, than what you were doing previously.
As a fleet supervisor, not necessarily. As a driver, definitely not.
Were you FIFO, Dane?
No, I was based in Orange. We were fairly lucky. The mine's within 30 minutes drive of the city, so, yeah, it wasn't too bad.
What did it teach you, Dane? Did it show you that you don't have to be under such pressure and duress when it comes to work? A lot of people are working from home. They're making it more flexible. What did you learn out of it?
Just you've got to take whatever opportunity is given to you, basically.
Did you have a moment of panic at any stage?
Oh, not really, because of the redundancy package that I got.
Yep, covered you.
It still took me nearly 12 months to get full-time employment again. So that was a panic moment for me, was why can't I get work again? And I was trying all different industries, stuff that I'd worked in previously with aviation and military. So I've got a fairly diverse CV, but it's you just got to keep persevering. If you can't find exactly what you love, find something you enjoy for now and work towards it.
Good one, mate.
Nice work, Peter on Marto's burner phone. Yeah. He said, "I went from a pro fisherman to a bus driver."
Jesus, that's a fair old switcheroo.
Couldn't you still fish though?
Oh, I think it was off for a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's netting and also trawler work is pro fisherman, so you can't be. You know, dropping the kids off on Route 47 and then going for a fish.
Just dropping the line in.
Mark from Caboolture.
Yeah, g'day, mate. 1990, I was playing cricket and broke a finger. And I was a Boilermaker. And went into curating cricket grounds for about 10 years and worked for Queensland Cricket for a bit.
Oh.
And went back to the trade. I now have my own cricket pitch roller brand. And
build
trolleys and such. Like,
so this is all from an injury?
Yeah, broken finger.
So you turned up, couldn't do any welding on the Monday. I went, oh, well, I'll go and do something else. And it's led you to an actual business.
7 months off work I was with a broken finger.
Jesus. Which finger was it?
Sounds like it snapped off.
Not the middle one. Yeah.
Knocked the top off one joint and the bottom off the other on a right index finger.
Oh, righto. So, hold on, what business have you got? You make the rollers that they roll cricket pitches with.
Yeah, and at the Gabba, I've got two covers trolleys that they hooked and stuck the covers on. Yeah. We've got one at CG, one at Metricon.
Are you the only bloke that loves when it's raining during the cricket? You're like, yes, another plug.
A couple of years ago, the first three games of the year were Metricon, the Gabba, and MCG, and it all rained, and that was the hat trick. I got all three on the TV.
Mark, well played. Well done. Good on you, Mark. Thanks for the call. Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Don't you love a story of redemption? We just had Joe in the news talking about the Dally M's, of course. Righto. So Jack White and the bloke who unexpectedly won it last night. Did you know two Christmases ago, Ricky Stewart called him into his office, okay? And he said, righto, How are we going to get the best out of you? He'd just come out of court a few weeks earlier because he had that night out after the, 2018, had a night out. There was an assault. Mm. He was facing 2 months in jail. The judge let him off. He went into Ricky Stewart's office. He said, righto, how are we going to get the best out of you, mate?
Turn it around.
We'll move you to 5'8". And then within a year and a half, the bloke's the best player in the game. The other one, remember 5 years ago, Gus Gould was running Penrith and said to Ivan Cleary, I think you're too tired. And Ivan Cleary said, no, I'm not. Gus said, yes, you are. Off you go. Punted him. Okay. Now they've gotten rid of Gus Gould, got Ivan Cleary, and they haven't lost a game for 19 weeks. Incredible. I love it how things turn around.
Why is there a boulder that's got a tie? Oh, no, that's Nathan Cleary's head side
on. I love Nathan Cleary's head. His chin's big. He's never going to get a burnt throat.
Everybody thought he was going to get the Dally M until it got leaked that it wasn't him. Do you think it was his TikTok performance that let him down? Do you think he lost points for that, perhaps?
Well, he didn't get any points in those 2 weeks that he was suspended. But his father's the best coach in the NRL. Hey, listen, talking about GOAT, did you see Cameron Smith? He was up at Sunshine Coast, our Cameron Smith. Mm. Up there yesterday, and they asked him again about retirement.
They had a lengthy chat to him, didn't they?
They asked him about Origin again. Mm. I noticed that he said Queensland's got a lot of number nines. Maybe that means he might play 5'8 or something. No, anyway, let's let that go. This is whether he's going to retire.
Don't know. I haven't really thought about it too much. I've put all of my energy and my thoughts towards my football this year.
Well, he has thought about it, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course.
They then said, all right, so the future, let's say he does retire this weekend. They asked his teammates, what do you reckon he'd be good at doing? So while this is playing, can you have an answer?
He'd probably be a real estate agent.
He gets tossed up as an accountant quite a bit.
He could go into coaching eventually. He pretty much coaches our team now.
Righto. You played rugby league your whole life. Remember when he was a young kid, he was a printing apprentice? I know things have probably moved on in the printing world.
He looks more like an electrician, doesn't
electrician?
He? He could maybe potentially be that. Maybe he could breed thoroughbreds. Oh, no, Billy Slater did that. What about a book? No, Billy Slater did that too.
Don't you say? Are you saying?
What about a children's book? Oh no, Billy Slater did that as well.
What about
a fitness program? No, Billy Slater did that as well. I don't think there's any jobs left. Billy Slater's doing them all.
Are you saying he's retired 2 years too late?
He's
Slater
got a,
and Thursday.
Billy Slater's got
jobs.
A mini kids rugby program. He's got all sorts of.
There's
stuff.
There's no jobs left.
There's no jobs left. He's got a job on Channel 9.
There can't be any more books. Billy Slater's written one.
He's written
the
three.
Only author.
He's written three.
Oh well. Shut it all down.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Yeah, let's not worry that the Lions went down to the Geelong Cats. That doesn't matter because the one and only AFL Grand Final, only one in our lifetime that will ever occur, is still happening here. And we've still got a footy festival all this week. And a bloke who was there yesterday with Simon Black with the Premiership Trophy, he was at South Bank to launch it. The footy festival, the AFL footy festival. Luke Hodge, hello, mate.
G'day, good morning, how are you going?
How many did you win? Four out of how many? Four premierships?
I was lucky to win four and unfortunately lost one in 2012. But happy with how we are.
Happy with the four, that's good.
Three-time premiership captain, two-time Norm Smith medalist. Legend. You've done it all. How important is this this weekend for AFL, for Brisbane, even though the Lions aren't going to be there, but it's still a massive event for AFL in Brisbane.
Yeah, I think we all wanted to see the Lions, considering where they've come from the last few years. But what have been so pressures and since I moved up here 3 years ago, how AFL has grown up here in Brisbane and in Queensland.
Saw some action of you on the news last night having a kick. You're not taking any of the Oz kick lessons, I don't think. He's missed from 20 metres out. He's put him through for a behind. Would that have been 15 metres out? What is wrong with you?
I reckon it was about 12 metres out. And Blackie had to go before me. He goes, be careful your footy. You might slip.
He was on the beach.
As I went to kick, I've slipped and it's almost gone sideways and hit the cameraman.
Oh, yes. Well,
so
well.
No, I'll be there coaching but not kicking.
Hey, Hodgie, did you win the Norm Smith medal 1 year when Hawthorn lost?
No.
They were both winners. Would that be the worst thing you could possibly do, win an individual award when your team's lost the grand final?
I think so, because I remember Nathan Buckley, Gary Ablett Sr. did it, Nathan Buckley and Chris Judd, and as soon as they were given it, they walked off stage and ripped the medal off. Because I think the whole week and your whole season's about a team performance, and on grand final day, you don't want to be individualised, but We've got two ripping teams, and it's going to be an amazing game coming up.
Well, one of them does have to lose, obviously, in the grand final this weekend. And if that does happen, Hodgie, if somebody from the losing side wins the Norm Smith medal, why don't they ever open their speech with, well, I clearly did my bit. It's all these bums that let me down.
Wouldn't the media love that?
Hodgie, as much as we'd love to be supporting and barracking for the Lions this weekend, will you pick someone to back?
Oh, I'm sitting on the fence at the moment. Early on, I said that the two best teams that I've seen play live was Richmond and Geelong. And just throughout finals, they had the experience and the composure during that stage. And my gut feel goes with Richmond because this is their third grand final in 4 years. And they know the pressure. They know the situation. And for some reason, I used to reckon that they'll be able to be composed enough on the day. But Geelong were outstanding Saturday night.
Hodgie, the five grand finals you played, you would never have seen, or maybe at the Brownlow on the Monday night, you would rarely have seen the other team before you ran onto the field. Do you realise that both teams are staying together down at the Royal Pines down the coast? But that's got to be odd if you're looking at it against a guy you're about to play with. You're staying in the same hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weird one. The fact, especially grand final day, when you look at them as your enemy and you're building up that you hate them. But so many times this year that guys have played against each other, and then you go back and you jump in the lift, and guess what? The bloke you've been playing on or been punching on with, he's standing right beside him with his family, and you've got to make general chit-chat and say good day. So
weirdest year ever.
It is. 2020 is a weird year, and they've had so many awkward situations and stuff like that. But I think they've done a credit to himself for all the players and the AFL for getting through such a tough year. And we've got the grand final day, which we're all looking forward to.
Oh, Hodgie, we're looking forward to seeing. We'll see you on 7 on grand final, Channel 7 on grand final day. But ticketmaster.com.au, that's to get any of your activities. Book it in at the River Stage and Botanical Gardens all this week. Thanks for your time, mate.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a good day.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, if you were driving down Plantain Road near the Hyperdome yesterday at about 3:30, you would have spotted somebody in the garden of the median strip.
What?
Stealing.
Is that the service road of the... Which one's Plantain?
Plantain's Road's the big one that goes up over the hill and down the other
Daisy
side.
Hill.
Towards, yeah, and then you can go up Shaler Road or you hit Manju Street at the roundabout there where the Hyperdome Library is. And there's like a really big, long median strip in the middle of Plantain Road that has beautiful flowers and because it's spring.
God, some of the councils go to a lot of trouble and they look beautiful,
they look
the flowers
so
at the moment.
Beautiful. And yesterday, someone thought she'd take advantage of those flowers, and she was spotted in the garden while somebody yelled out the window at her, "Stop cutting the flowers, Mum! You're embarrassing us."
Yeah,
which just so happened to be myself and my children.
I love those people who cut flowers. It's nice.
That was me.
Good on you.
There's so many beautiful flowers around, Marto. When you're driving around the streets of your suburb and you see them, you're just like, "Oh, they're so pretty." And I'm like, "Do you know what?
Take them home and put them on the table."
It's what I did. Yeah, it's what I did.
Hold on, you stole flowers.
I stole flowers. Oh. Well, I didn't steal them. Technically, they're there for the taking. It's nature, isn't it?
No.
Tight ass.
Oh, stop it. Well,
it is nature, Margo, and it's overflowing. Otherwise,
I pay council rates. That's what the council use their money for.
Love your work.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about?
We have a little herb
flowers?
Garden type, like a community garden at the back of the Hyperdome there, and you can go in and you can cut herbs, and they grow rosemary at the front of the hypermarket section, and you can cut your rosemary.
Are you supposed to cut? Well,
I don't know. I do.
You do.
Well, I don't cut it. I just break it off. But I've got splinters in my thumb from it because it's the hard little buggers.
Bunnings have that big plant section. You can just go in and grab a tree and leave. Thanks,
yeah,
Bunnings.
Yeah, but I have a black thumb. Anything that I touch turns to black. Like, flowers is the only thing I can keep alive because you just put it in water. They last a week. And, you know, you buy them from the supermarket.
That's just
that's the process.
I remove them from the root.
You've got to get yourself a pair of pruning, little secateurs, because you get bougainvillea. That's so beautiful, but you don't want to be tearing that off because you'll get a big thorn through your thumb.
Well, normally I just go, when I do my grocery shop once a week, I grab a bunch of flowers at the front of the grocery store there, but I'm not paying for them anymore. I refuse to pay for flowers.
Costs too much. That's
They're
so true.
They're free. They're in the garden. They're there for their taking. All They're right. free, They're, and I'm taking
what
them.
What about if, at the moment, jasmine's just come out, and that is the most
so beautiful.
Beautiful smelling plant.
Our
if that's
neighbor.
Spilling over somebody's fence, would you?
Our neighbour has a whole hedge of it out the front of his place, but technically it's on the nature strip, so that's technically mine too, isn't it? So I can just cut flowers
that's
from
all
his
hedge. I
from
might
his
pop
hedge.
Over and grab some too.
Yeah, I've got some mock orange.
Out.
Feel free to come and grab it.
Mock orange, yeah, it smells so
pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. 133353, what do you refuse to pay for? Like, I always buy flowers, but they're so expensive and they're not getting any cheaper. Like, I walked past the florist the other day, $90 they wanted for a bunch of flowers. I got them for free yesterday. A whole bush of Geraldton wax, just free for the taking,
It's not free for the taking. The council have planted it to
They trim it back so that it stems regrowth. To stem regrowth. I'm refusing to pay for flowers anymore. What do you refuse to pay for? I want to know.
You know what? Stationery.
Make me feel better about myself.
I've never bought a pen in my life.
See?
Where am I working?
Office
I'm stealing
stationery.
Your pens.
That's actual theft.
I'm trimming the pen supply back for regrowth.
See, they don't regrow. But there are people going through life not paying for stuff.
Yeah.
Of course. And those flowers, a lot of plants like to be aggressively trimmed and they grow back faster and harder.
I love when you support me.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think it's theft.
Jordan from Helensvale texts her on the burner phone. She refuses to pay for sugar, and so she steals the sugar sachets from the cafes.
Kath has salt and pepper, those little sachets as well. She'll just grab like 20 of them and they're always in her handbag. She's always got a little bit of spice.
The little biscuits, you know, the little plastic.
Yeah, they're free.
Yeah, biscuits on the side of your coffee, I'd take them. Yeah.
I got a mate who tours a bunch with music and he said he steals all the soaps and everything from hotels.
Yeah. It's not stealing though. You pay for the room and therefore that's included.
If you go into a bottle shop,
I have a cupboard full of them. I have a cupboard full of those little shampoo, conditioner, body wash things because I always pinch them. Well, not pinch them. I take them because I've paid for the room. And I use them when my guests come over and stay. I put them on a little towel on the end of their bed.
There might be some people unclear what we're talking about here. If there's a thing called, it's got a sign saying BWS, and you go, gee, they seem to have a lot of those stubby things. You can't go and grab
No, you have to pay for them. It's a shop.
How long until Margo's like, come down to our joint. I've got Migaloo in the pool. I pay rates. He's coming to my water where I live.
In my pool.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
I love this. It's upset a lot of people on the internet, but I'm all for it. Down in Sydney, somebody in Bondi has parked their car horrendously. They've done a terrible park. Mm. So somebody, kind enough, has spotted this terrible park and has left him a note. Free parking lesson. Hashtag 1800 crap park. Now, I don't think that's a legitimate number.
No.
But I love what they've done. This person's parked across two spots. Horrendous parking. Somebody's left him a note.
Can I just say in their defense though, because I've had this happen to me.
What?
The person that I parked next to had made a horrendous park, which meant then that I had to then park over to be able to get into the car spot that was available. And I had someone leave me a note that said, you park like an a-hole. And I went, well, hang on a second. It wasn't me that parked like that in the first place. Somebody else parked badly first. So then I had to park bad. Now it makes me look like an idiot.
And they've gone.
And they've left.
They left.
And now I just look like the a-hole.
Well, you are.
I take this back. Sorry, I take that back. It wasn't a two situation. It could have been two, but it's a like a curb. So out front of an apartment building, there's room for two cars. And this person has just pulled in the middle.
Yeah,
so there can't be a second car.
They are an a-hole.
You know how you're saying they left a note? You can get the sticker saying that over in Bali. My young bloke got 20 of them and he's only got
like
12 left. Yeah. You put them on someone's car, they'll get the message. But it's a good idea. Shouldn't they? Don't they need to be told? Because some people hop out of their car and they're thinking of their next task.
So vague.
They need to be told that they can't park.
When did you leave a note? Maybe your neighbours are causing a problem. You've just left them a little note at the door. Maybe, you know, we work in an office where somebody leaves upwards of 50 notes a week. They love notes around here.
We've left notes. I've left notes. We left a note to say that we were having like a 30th or a birthday party.
All the time.
We've left notes to say, hey, stop ringing the police. We're really reasonable people. Just ring us and here's our number.
Wow. You had to go that far.
How did they go?
They left an anonymous note back saying you're an a-hole.
What about those people? What about those people that bump into you at the shopping centre and somebody saw them and so you write a note, but you don't really write a note? I'm only writing this note because someone saw me. Sorry about bumping with no identification for insurance.
Oh, with nothing on there.
That happens, mate. A fake note.
Wow.
Paul from West End, did you leave a note?
Well, see, notes just get taken off and thrown away. I live in West End.
Oh,
notoriously bad parkers.
Yes.
So, mate, I got over it, so I just got a big black Nikko and now write it on the driver's window. Thank you for being an inconsiderate prick. Yeah.
Paul, my main angry mate also lives in West End. It must be something about you guys.
Oh, best friends that don't know each other yet.
Paul.
Mate, I want to know him then. Right. I want to know him.
he's an architect over there. You'll track him down. He uses lipstick.
Let's see, can wipe off.
No, he can't.
It smudges.
Is it hard?
Lipstick.
It smudges.
It's hard to get off.
Just giving Jim help to be angry man, Paul. That's all.
Leanne from Cooperoo, 133353. When did you leave a note?
It wasn't a note. It was a text to two lovely girls in my apartment building.
Oh.
Yeah. They are lovely. They sent us a note, put on all the doors of the apartment floor, and said if they were having a party or anything and it got too unruly, let them know.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, I let them know. Yeah. I did dumb an hour over sending the text. they got one eventually, but you know what? The noise stopped immediately, and they saw me the next day, gave me a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Man.
See?
I like that.
That's all you got to do. Sometimes you just got to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Was it? I've got a feeling that text message, Leanne, just the way you're telling this story, was that text message all caps and with a few unsavory words in there?
Maybe one.
Possibly slightly condescending, passive aggressive. Was it, Leanne?
Was the bottle of wine sealed? Definitely. Yeah, it was.
Okay. Thanks, Leanne.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Triple M, it's the Big Breakfast. Tomato, Margot and Nick Cody. We have $10,000. We really want to give it away with First Responder. Your next chance to play is tomorrow morning just after 8 o'clock. It's all thanks to Austrac Campers, Rockley and Caboolture. Austrac Campers, built tough, built to last. We are here this week for Ladbrokes. They are changing the way you multi this spring carnival.
And now, don't worry, this spring carnival continues. It wasn't just about last Saturday with you and your girlfriends at the races. It's on again this week, then next week, and then the Melbourne Cup week. It's incredible. You've got plenty to go. And if you're interested, if you're really keen, in 3 hours they're running the first race at Grafton and also Wodonga today.
Oh.
So are these horses in training for the Melbourne Cup? Or
no, I don't have my Ladbrokes app open.
Are these future glue sticks just getting around, having a crack?
Well, what do you think? If you were a Grafton in race one, why is there so many horses in, like, there's, it's an, oh, it's only eight. Hashtag heroes running here.
Okay.
But no, what Ladbrokes want to tell you is that they're letting you mix your multi. So you're just not just a straight out multi. The power's in your hands.
Sweet.
Blended legs, split legs. Ladbrokes, back yourself. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. We are done. Grab the Catch Up podcast. If you missed anything, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi. And with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M.